The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Living by the Word Ministries presentation of the Bible Information Brokers with Ozzy making sure all the beautiful technology it is taken care of. We have Eric, Mr. Stanton, receiving your phone calls at 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. Please give him a call. You have a few open lines. He can take your call, set you up in the queue if you have a question that you want to get asked and answered from a biblical perspective. And Professor Craig Hawkins, PCH, along with myself, Daryl A.Z.D. Fulton, is ready to receive those phone calls to get the best answer we can give you from a biblical perspective. But before we get back to that, the questions and answers, and we see your calls coming in, Pastor Terry, we're going to get to you guys momentarily. PCH, this is the most important time of the broadcast, and I'm just reflecting back on, actually we had to watch a participating church online today, and I'm so glad I did that this is even available, whereby I called my dear brother who was preaching today, Reverend B. Double, his two initials are B.B., and he talked about, and his text was Genesis 1, and he talked about the supreme goodness of an almighty God. And Craig, in that, he got into the idea about how, you know, spell God, G-O-D, where it come from. He got into all the etymologies of where we get the word God in English from. And then he started talking about this thing which resonated in my mind. God is good. You know, the people talk about the cliches of Christianity. I almost want to do a book on them, Christian cliches, and, you know, the strong meaning or the weak meaning of it. Where they say God is good, and then they say all the time, God is good. Well, one of the things God is good about is that, I'm reading in the scripture, I'm looking through the scripture to find out where it says, God is good, but the guilty will not go unpunished, which is a interesting concept when you get right down to this whole gospel message of God. And so in giving the gospel message of God, Craig, you can't do this good news, which the gospel is alluding to, without the guilt of man being dealt with, and the repentance of man from that guilt. Or is he repenting from any possibility of doing it again in the future? Or is man repenting of his guilt just because that's what has to be done for him to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, as we talk about so often? And we mentioned the heart with joy earlier again, and you can bring that up again if you don't mind. And do I have PCH with me? Can you hear me, PCH? Because I can't hear him. Is it me? Okay. PCH, were you able to hear me? Okay, well, let me do it this way then. I don't know if he heard me or not. If you did hear me, PCH, I see that it's on, so there's nothing I really can do from there. But anyway, folks, and PCH, whenever you hear me, just come on. We're talking about the gospel message, talking about giving people the good news and how the idea of the good news of Jesus Christ doing what he did and God dealing with man the way he dealt with man. I was just alluding to the service today on the supremeness, the supreme goodness of an almighty God, which the good reverend was talking about this morning and in church. So, PCH, if you can hear me now, just go ahead and chime in. If not, then I'll proceed on and just tell the people what the good news is. Can you hear me, PCH? Yeah, I don't want to go to a caller yet. So, Pastor Ted and Philip, we're going to get to your calls in a moment, but we definitely want to give this gospel message out right now. So, I don't know what the telephone is doing here. If I did anything, I don't think I did. Eric, let me know if I did do something. I don't think I pressed a button. So, what I'll do is I'll put PCH on hold, and I'm going to bring him back right quick. Let's see. Hold. PCH, are you there? Okay, I don't know what happened. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, here's what the whole deal is. I just made mention about the idea that God being a good God is going to deal with the guilty. Well, who is the guilty? Every single person that was ever born. The guilt is sort of like a representation that we got because of the first man, Adam, who disobeyed God. And that disobeying set in motion sin. And the thing we had mentioned earlier today, I had talked about it as far as sharing the gospel with people. If you had the cure to cancer, how wrong you would be not to share it. But by having the cure of cancer, you would share it. What we're suggesting that the metaphor is, or the way the analogy could go, is that by having the cure to the sin disease, then thus it is dealt with through what the gospel calls the good news, or what the gospel meaning the good news, and it's by what Jesus did on the cross. Because here's the bottom line. Unless you're perfect, 100% flawless, then to be able to live with God in an eternal state, you would have to have that perfection personified. I wear a hat on my head that says Fulton 54, which represents the perfect score in golf, which is a probable thing not to happen. It's not impossible, but the probability, the odds of someone getting a 54 in the way that my game goes is highly impossible. Okay. Well, PCH, let me bring him back up here on that side. Hey, PCH. I don't know how much you heard of what I was talking about, but I was just alluding to the idea of God is a good God, but the guilty will not go unpunished in leading up to the gospel message. So I don't know, again, how much you heard I was saying. And that was the whole thing about this sermon today, about the supreme goodness of an almighty God. But he is going to deal with the guilty.
Well, sure, and he tells us, do not to despise his patience or his long-suffering.
Mm-hmm.
People tend to think, well, they hadn't dealt with me. It's a sign of weakness, and that's a fatal mistake. And you're talking about it's not impossible to get a perfect score in golf.
Correct.
Your version of 54,
mm-hmm.
But it's highly improbable, but it's it's impossible to get out of here alive. And the odds are all of our listeners are not going to make it out of here alive. They're going to die, and they're going to have to go eventually and stand before their maker. And that's something you do not want to do by yourself. And that's where we want to plead the work of Jesus Christ, his finished perfect life that was given for us in our place. We use the word here, Daryl, the concept, the idea of a substitute. In our place, vicarious is the fancy term in Latin. And Christ is our vicarious sacrifice. He paid the penalty for our sins in full, that God can forgive us and is justified in forgiving us. And at any rate, Daryl, that's so vital that one knows Christ before they check out. As we've talked about previous weeks, it's like a hotel. You may get a late checkout, half checkout, and sooner or later everybody checks out. Should the Lord tarry, and we want to be right with God, and He's done that for us. But we need to trust in Christ and believe on Him, and not take His long suffering for granted, not taking His patience with us. It's kind of like, well, He hasn't struck me dead yet. No, but it's going to happen. He doesn't have to strike you dead. Live long enough, you're going to die of so-called natural causes. And, that's not hype. That's not exaggeration. That's cold stone reality, Daryl, that we need to be ready to meet our Maker and be right with God so that we can spend eternity with Him and not under His judgment and wrath because of our nincompoopishness. And that's the beauty. Today is a day of salvation. Today is a day of hearing the good news, that God allows us and grants us the ability to repent, to acknowledge our need for God, to repent, turn away from our sins and towards God, and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And Daryl, I don't know how else to say it. That is what life is all about. If you miss that, you've missed everything.
No repentance, no reconciliation, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, Daryl.
Folks.
Is vital.
Yeah. And folks, and we say it every week, and all I can simply tell you is that if you are, just real simply, if you are an unbeliever out there, are you just not sure, you have many questions about God, Craig, is it I don't know what's the word I'm looking for. It's not a toss in the wind type situation where we're telling people, why don't you, if you're going to pray a prayer at all, it'll be something along this line. If you're not sure about God, if you're not sure about this gospel that we're talking about, just to simply ask God to show you in a special way where it's undeniable that it's coming from him. Between the individual and God, does God still operate like that, Craig, whereby he can do what he wants to do, but he's not going to violate his word. We know that. But for a person who wants to just practically say, help me understand this God thing. I mean, I'm not getting it from these guys. These guys talk this stuff every week, but it's just not coming. Would God show some special grace and deal with people on that level?
Well, I believe he does all kinds of things like that, Daryl. As someone has well said, God's not only the God of the second chance, but of the third, the fourth, and the fifth. But Daryl, the danger is not that God won't move heaven and earth for us to come to repentance, to repent from our sins and turn towards him. But there is a time when it's over with, and that when we die. And that's why God warns us about, you know, don't take it for granted. Mm. Don't become stiff-necked, hard-hearted. We assume, well, I'll have time. You know, right before I pass, I'll repent and try to get right with God. But that's assuming that you'll have the ability to do it. That assumes you'll be willing to do it at that time. And, you know, right before you cash in your chips, if I can say it that way, literally, for one that dies. And that's a big assumption. That's a mighty big risk. And of course, it presumes that this living for yourself and living like a pagan is just so wonderful that, I'm a Christian, I got to be a good little boy or girl, and that's kind of boring. This is where the action is. No, it's not. It's where the emptiness is, the world, the flesh, the devil, the big three. And it promises life and excitement and everything. And, well, there is pleasure there
for a season,
mm-hmm. Yeah. But then there's payday.
Yes.
And payday is coming, and that's why, you know, we warn people. You know, we encourage them. Like I said, I lost, including my father, three good friends, three dear friends in the last month, Daryl. And this idea I'm going to be here forever is just crazy. No, you're going to check out. You're not going to be asked. You're going to, and you need to be right with God. And the time to do that is right now.
Amen. And right now, I'm going to give the phone number where they can call Eric. We have about another 40 minutes left in the broadcast, so let's take advantage of this time and get these questions asked and answered. The subject matters that you bring up, it may be very useful to yourself and also many other people that may hear this broadcast live now and also at the same time may listen to us by way of archive show. So let's take advantage of this and give some glory to God by finding out what he says about the question that you're going to ask. So right now, let's go right directly to the City of Angels and talk to our dear buddy Ted. Ted, thanks for holding on and calling in, brother.
Amen, gentlemen. Yes, sir, I've sinned both in my actions and my failure to act in thought, word, and deed, you know, by what is seen and unseen. And that's why I need God as light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, to deliver me. So I'm right on it with you guys. Can you hear me?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, so my question to you guys is, you know, how come, you know, and we have never as a nation denied anybody of any faith to practice their faith. Even, you know, I'm sure we didn't allow witchcraft, of course. We did a lot of horrible stuff, burning people to the stake. But as of late, as a nation, I don't see us doing stuff like we see in India and around the world. And to demonize us is, to me, is pretty ludicrous. I mean, I feel we're pretty civilized as far as that goes. And my question is, well, how come I've never seen any of these other faiths come to the door and do missionary work? Obviously, when I was talking to Eric, he did bring up, you know, people that claim to be Christian we have the Mormons, and then we have the Jehovah Witness, and but still, they're still inspired by what the writings are, even though they need to be corrected in so many ways. But I'm just curious, you know, why we don't have, are they lacking confidence that they can't go door to door? And as what we hear in Iran, like, there's people that are bucket loads that are trying to get away from Islam because of the strictness. They can't even go outside. If a piece of hair is out for a woman, you know, they get.
Ted, I got you on that, but let me just simply see if I can hone in on the question. Is the bottom line you're saying that why isn't proselytizing more on a massive scale with other belief systems? Is that what the bottom line is?
Yeah, with other belief systems, you don't see them on fire. You don't see them I just need to tell you about Jesus. I mean, I need to tell you about Islam. I need to tell you about Buddhism. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But PCH, yeah. What in your experience, PCH, over the years in dealing with apologetics and various people defending their faith and what they believe and why they believe it, what is the norm, if there is such a thing, for that kind of situation?
Well, yes, I mean, I have seen it. I'll give some examples. Now, a lot of people don't go door-to-door anymore. In years past, a lot of companies and or religious people would go door-to-door. But for a number of reasons, including safety, that just doesn't happen as much across the board. But I've had Scientologists come to my door, of course Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. But as I've traveled, I'll never forget being in Malaysia. I was there for the New Year, and there were guys out witnessing. I had long conversations with some guys witnessing. They were Muslims, and they were out proselytizing. So some of these are some cultural differences, but I've seen plenty of zeal, if you will. Often Buddhists and Hindus, I've seen them do it at the airport and all that. Now they've been blocked from going there. But typically they do it a little differently. They invite you to a meal or a communal meal put on by the ashram, like a spiritual community. A lot of them do it that way. They invite people to come and hear a free seminar, hear a free some teaching, or come spend a weekend at a retreat at an ashram or some, again, spiritual community, if you will. So, in fact, I'm gearing up for help out to my brothers and sisters in particular in India, but also in Nepal, where now there's a whole group. It's a growing movement of Hindu apologists who are seeking to engage Christians and to proselytize Christians, and of course also to keep their people from becoming Christians and really gearing up. So this definitely is going on. We just don't maybe see as much right here in the areas we live in, but it is here. And they use, in my area, there's a big Buddhist temple and also a Hindu site, if you will, and of course a mosque and that. And people are invited to go to tours there, and they're very receptive, and they often have people come and show up there. So they do it a little differently, but I've seen plenty of zeal, if you will, and people passionate from other religions, Baha'is. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I've encountered and I've seen them in action in various parts of the world, and definitely going out of their way to share their message. Again, maybe they don't go door-to-door here in America. It's just because a lot of people don't go door-to-door anymore. It's kind of dangerous. Can be for your health. But I've seen plenty of it. And, in fact, we're going to be really trying to equip a lot of our brothers and sisters, pastors and missionaries in that, dealing with the Hindu apologist. There's whole books and tracts and approaches that they've developed that try to disprove Christianity and any rate, then advance their religions. So it's there.
Right. Okay, so one more question is, I know you've had experience of people getting angry with you. I mean, I've never witnessed Christians getting angry. I don't get angry with people. My answer to them is, you're not angry with me. You're angry with Jesus. I'm just the messenger here, you know, and that's how I respond to them.
So yeah, but
don't
I've
understand
seen
why they're getting angry.
Yeah, but I've seen plenty of Christians be rude and be angry. Maybe they didn't punch somebody, but I've many times, if they even go to an answer the door anymore, if it's a Jehovah's Witness or Mormon, they are abusive, at least in the sense of, get out of here or whatever. They don't really show them love and think, man, this person knocked on my door. Talk about a captive audience. You knocked on my door. let's share the gospel. And some Christians are like, oh, I'm so inconvenienced or what have you. But so... And the Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, they eat that up. See, that they think that's proof that they've got the truth. Because, I'm being persecuted for the gospel, for Jesus. And, of course, you're being persecuted for other reasons, including sometimes you're obnoxious. But I've seen plenty of Christians be rude. And I'm not saying every Christian has to stop and try to, give them an hour or two. They generally won't spend that long anyways, depending on who you are and what you know. But all we can do, what does it cost to show a smile and to be kind and gracious? And even if you think, I can't talk to them, well, then look, but you can still say, I'm a follower of Jesus. Now, and I know you claim to follow Jesus, but I'm going to argue with all due respect, you believe in another Jesus, not the one of the Bible. And I will just pray you could find what I have in my testimony of, coming to the Lord and what he's done in my life. I mean, something as simple as that. You might say, I can't engage them. I can't answer their arguments. Okay, well, but you could study. But if you choose not to, at least you can share the gospel with them when they knock on your door. Captive audience. Does it get better than that? They come to your door and you can't share the gospel? Come on.
Yeah, I'm going to say this way. There was a referee in boxing. And I forget his name, but he used to have an expression after he brings the fighters in the middle of the ring. He says, hey, I'm firm, but I'm fair. And sometimes you just have to be that way, in my opinion, about being firm but fair to a human being. We don't have to be offensive, and I think that's a good measuring stick to be that way. Hey, brother, appreciate your phone call, Ted.
Amen, guys. Yeah.
God bless, man. Hey, PCH, one of the things that Ted was bringing up, and Pastor, we're going to get to you in a second, and Philip, hang in there for a half a second. And Craig, just remind me to bring this up. It's about the State of the Union address in light of Psalms 32:12. I'm just going to say that now, and then like a crescendo, we can bring it up towards the end. Okay? State of the Union address, and my thoughts, real short thought on that, and then Psalm 32:12 will be my reference point. Let's go to City of Whittier and talk with Pastor. How are you doing, brother?
Hey, good evening. Good evening. I'm doing well. I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah. It's been a while. You actually had given me a call. I so great.
Right. Please remind me, because all that our dear screener Eric put up was Pastor. What name are you want to go? What name are you going by?
My first name's Alan.
Alan, okay.
Your
voice sounds familiar. That's what I'm saying. Now when I hear the voice, now I'm getting old. If you look at the Facebook page, you'll see all this gray on my face. And let that be a cue to everybody. Talk to me like ABC is a little bit, like Craig does.
Amen. Yeah, no worries. Yeah, you had called me on, it was like a Sunday afternoon. I was at an event, with my nephew, and I was there with my brother, and you'd call me, and I was like, oh my gosh, wow. So we had talked for a bit, and you had called and prayed with me and encouraged me and continued to do what I was going to do and doing, and the Lord was leading me to do.
And I appreciate that. I do see it, Alan, because I did not have the screen open up full, so I'm publicly apologizing to our dear screener, who does a fine job, Eric, and that your name was there. I just did not have the screen open up. You see, I do that, Craig, just quick, short accounts, and you move on. But what's the praise report, brother?
Sorry?
You have a praise report for us?
Yeah, actually, a little personal prayer request, and then, praise report is that, God, with the way that the Holy Spirit works, it is God gives us confirmations, and he gives through just whatever, I believe through whatever means, whether it's, you know, listening to a radio station or, and something is said, that word is said, and it's like, wow, I just prayed about that. And then you hear it again, and then you hear it a third time. I was at an event earlier this evening, which was actually a live music event, and a young lady that I've known for a little while, we connected, and you know, I told her, you know, what I do, I give out guitar picks to musicians with my prayer ministry on it, and I connect with people that wouldn't normally go to church on a Sunday. So, you know, and I go to these music events and places where most people probably wouldn't walk into the dark, but I walk into the dark and such. And, you know, so I have that opportunity to be able to say, hey, you know, I pray for people. Can I pray for you? So the young lady shared with me that she received, she was struggling, you know, with alcohol and such. And so she has been clean for 30 days. She showed me her chip. And she told me that she also received Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior this morning. So the praise report, I guess, would be more for her than, you know, for me in a sense. But for her, her name's Megan. And she asked me questions. And I said, well, listen, you know, I'm a father and I'm a grandfather. So, you know, so she wanted to bounce her life off of me, And as far as where, I said, listen, you know, you got guys out there, you're a young lady, and you look, I said, why don't you do this? You receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Why don't you allow yourself to get to know him personally, on a personal level, with through prayer, meditation, your quiet time, and fall in love with Jesus. And then God will bring that man, he'll prepare you for who he wants you to be with, and he'll end up preparing somebody and bring into your life. So my praise report is that you encouraged me, you know, many months ago, as far as how God is going to deal with me and direct my ministry. And God's been kind of leading me to be able to share things in a way that you do. And I appreciate that.
Well, Brad, I do remember talking with you, man, especially about the story in regards to your grandchildren and stuff like that. And folks, I'm saying that to you, Alan, because, you know, if you can imagine what Craig, you know, Craig's been in ministry, like I said, much longer than I have. But when you're dealing, when you're on the radio, I know that I can vouch for these guys that we don't think we're all of that and not even a bag of chips. We're amazed that God would even use us to do what he's done for all these years. Now, if anybody can boast of anything, Craig can boast of reading a lot of books, more than Cat Williams here. He read 3,000 books or whatever it was, but that's another story.
Wow.
So, but yet we understand that God is using us in spite of who we are. Yes, we do the work. Yes, we try to give the best we can in regards to the answers that people call in about the questions. But Craig, you can speak for yourself. I don't need to speak for you. I can speak for myself. I know how rotten I am and how God had to save my soul. And many people that know me don't even believe in God, but thank God that he did save me, because they know and they see the difference. And Craig, I'm sure we all have a similar story.
Well, I hope so. But, Alan, it's really nice to hear from you. At first, I didn't remember, but when you said the guitar picks, I go, oh, that's right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. that did it for me. Yeah, and I'm so glad to hear that. And it's just so encouraging that I love your boldness and you're willing to go, you know, in the areas where a lot of Christians don't feel comfortable. And I understand that. But you're willing to go there and share the gospel. And I just love that. I mean, I do want to pray for you. We want to pray for this gal. I think you said her name is Megan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just exciting. And it just, I hear the joy in your heart and from your voice, you know, of Lord using you. And that's just, to me, that is just so exciting to see and hear that. And I want to encourage you to keep doing that.
Thank you.
So let's pray for we forget, and we can always talk some more. Father, thank you so much for Alan.
So
thank you for his heart to serve you, and just pray you continue to bless him as he shares the word. You would bountifully bless him with opportunities and the words that you want him to share with folks. And just thank you so much for his love for you and therefore love for others and wanting to share the incredible gospel. So thank you so much for that. May his tribe increase. May you bless his efforts. And may he just have your joy as he sees the fruit of what you're doing in his life and the blessings that come from that. And we pray in particular for this gal named Megan.
Yes.
You know who she is, Father. You know all about her. And we just pray for her coming to Christ, and that indeed she will walk with him, that she will indeed fall in love with Jesus, that she will get to know the Savior and walk with him deeply and richly, and not just stay sober and out of drugs or anything if she's involved in all that, apparently alcoholism, but Father, but above all, that she would seek your face and know that she's your daughter now, and that she would walk with you and grow in her most holy faith. And in your time, if that's a concern of hers, you would bring someone who is godly, who would be a great partner with her, who loves you and will encourage her and help her to grow in her faith even more. So work in her life and the other Megans, if you will, the world, who are out there, Father, looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for fulfillment and things that they're never going to find and out there in the world. We pray that you would bring them to yourself and you continue to use people like Alan to do that, and again, richly reward him for this with your joy unspeakable and many, many more opportunities to be used by you to introduce people to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Thank you so much for Alan and for Megan and what you're doing in her life, and we're just expecting to hear even more great things. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hey, and PAQ, Pastor Alan Quinn, man, I just want you to know that you, when you talked about those picks, and it just brought back my memory that I had that opportunity and privilege to travel around the world now because of this golf ministry I'm doing, to be able to do the same type of thing using the golf paraphernalia. I gave a golf ball with the number 54 and let a person know that, hey, that's perfect in golf because I'm saying it, but no one's going to be able to obtain it, especially in life, and then have an opportunity to talk to them about the things of God as well. So, man, thank you for that. Thank you for that inspiration right there, bro.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate the prayer. Again, yes, you and I had spoken. I won't keep you a minute longer, but it was, you know, tomorrow my grandson Hendrix will turn 5. His twin brother James is, again, like I said, he's in heaven.
Yes.
Passed May 7th in 2020.
Wow.
From liver and kidney failure up there at UCLA Hospital.
Yeah.
And so we endured that for 10 and a half months. But, yeah.
Man, give your Facebook page or your website where people can go check out your story, man.
Yeah, so the song we wrote that my daughter and I, it's both on Spotify and YouTube,
mm-hmm.
James the Brave. My Facebook page is Alan Quinn, A-L-E-N-Q-U-I-N-N. And I'm open to people, you know, reaching out. My number is on there, my prayer ministry,
mm-hmm.
Paradigm Shift Prayer Ministries. And so I'm totally open. And like I shared with this young lady earlier this evening, it's like she says, wow, it's like almost God just put you here. And it's like, that's kind of what he does.
There you go. There you go. Thank you, baby. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah.
God bless.
Yeah. God bless you, dear. We'll talk soon, brother.
PCH, you know, I don't know how to say it more and more and more, man. I'm so glad meeting you guys through this ministry and have the mindset on who we recognize who we are in Christ and who we are by ourselves. I mean, I know, look, we have some accomplishments in life. You know, we talk about the various things that we've done in life. But, Craig, I really appreciate if people don't, you know, when people get to know you, get to know me and stuff like that, they'll know that we're not all that. But yet, God has still chose to use us, man. I'm still laughing at that. I'm sorry. I get a kick out of it all the time I think about it. Well, I won't get a kick out of it. It's 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. Call Eric. He has a few open lines. He will talk to you. He will set you up. We have about another 25 minutes left in the broadcast, or less, probably, 17 minutes left in the broadcast. So let's take the call of Philip in Pomona. Philip, thanks for holding on and calling in.
Are you there?
Yes, we are. You're live with us now, Philip. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You know what? I want to say bless your hearts for doing what you do. And I don't so much have a question. It's just kind of like a testimony of some things that God had done for me. And maybe it would inspire people to believe a little bit more if I may share it with you.
Let's see. I'll promise you I'll consider it as you're talking. And if I put you on hold, it's because I had to consider something else. Okay? Go ahead.
Okay. All right. First of all, 44 years ago, I had married a woman who was 24 years older than me, and I was living with her, and I was introduced to drugs and stuff like that, you know, through her house. In other words, she was more or less, I got with Jezebel, and I was a young man, pool boy, whatever you want to call it. But the bottom line is, I really loved this woman. And as I started doing drugs, I remember I got addicted to them, and I spent a lot of the money that I was supposed to use for the mortgage. And I was so ashamed of myself that I committed suicide. And I remember getting drunk, I remember getting high, and I remember pulling the trigger on a little tiny 22 Derringer because I wanted to end my life because I could not face the truth that I would have to tell her this. Long story short is, when I did it, I was snatched up. This is the vision. God snatched me up above the earth to face the earth. And I knew it was earth because it had the four major continent nations. And out of the right side of the earth, it was on the right side that I was hearing this, each nation was risen up and then slammed back down. And this is the seven words is what he said. He said lying, and then the nation was slammed down. And it said cheating, stealing, manipulation. And then the world plunged into, I didn't know the Bible back then either, by the way. I never knew the Bible.
Okay.
I do now. And it, the world plunged into, like, it was dark. It wasn't in color or lit up anymore. And that's what they call spiritual darkness. And then three more words were spoken, and it said rape, it said murder, and then the last word he said, the seventh word was pressure, meaning like this is too much. And so the world lit up like this giant ball of like a nuclear explosion. And as that was glowing and I was looking at it, this light came casting around from the right side from the earth and came and passed through my forehead in like a three sound kind of air burst, like boom, boom, boom. And there I saw this vision. I was on one side of the river, you know, which is the River Life. I know now, but I didn't know it back then.
Okay, well, hold on. I see that right there is the part, Philip. I want you to get to the hone in on. I think we understand what you're saying and what you experienced.
Yeah.
Okay. And I want to interrupt you right now because I want PCH because of our time and something else to give me a good segue into what I was talking about, the State of the Union address in a second. But because of the, it was a vision you said that it was happening to you, or you said that you committed. Hold on, let me make sure I'm understanding you, and I'll turn it over to PCH. That you said that you committed suicide, and that somehow you got brought back.
Yeah, I was brought back.
Okay, I got you.
And so as I was seeing this, and I'm looking across, there was this man laying against the belly of a lion, and he was underneath a tree, and there was this river, like a river flowing down, and this woman who was much bigger than everything that was there, she took one step across the river. We would have to swim it, but she took one step across the river, and she says to the man that was sitting by the lion, she says, "Here's your child. He's about to die." That was me.
Okay. I'm going to hold right there because I need Professor to step in if he has any thoughts on this. Because I have some thoughts, but I don't want to get into my thoughts just yet. But I want to PCH to make comments on this.
Yeah. No,
Daryl. I was just listening.
Okay. And Philip, let me say this, Philip. Because when we have calls like this, and I'm not trying to say that what you do not, I'll never deny anybody's experience, but we only have limited time, and we, like you said, you know the show, we take questions, and so we have no way of verifying one way or another what you said, and only thing we can listen for if anything you're saying is violating the Word of God. So with all due respect to the rest of your story, I'm going to make a decision to not proceed with the rest of your story, but take what you just said and simply tell you we have no way of verifying one way or the other if these things happened to you, not saying it didn't, but simply saying that what you said thus far is to me is interesting, but I don't know what to do with it. Okay, so I hope you can respect that situation, and as far as us receiving your phone call and doing that. But Craig, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take this situation with Philip. And again, Philip, I'm not hanging up on you. I just put you on hold. I'm going to have Eric finish the conversation with you in regards to anything else. But what it led me to say, Craig, is what I was mentioned to you before about the State of the Union address and the platform about what President Biden was dealing with. And I just thought about the idea that he was given a State of the Union address, said many things in it. But one of the things that kept coming out in my mind is what alluded to in Psalms 32:12. And I'm going to read it because I'd like for us to talk about this, to give people opportunity. We lost Craig. Okay. Bring Craig back on, please. So I don't want to repeat myself in this. If you guys can get Craig back on, I appreciate that. But what I'm gonna read, folks, is set it up this way: that the State of the Union address that you guys may or may not have heard, in dealing with our president, who we should be praying for, definitely for the civility of our country and for the safety and everything else that governments are supposed to supply to us by God, safety and various things that government is supposed to do, because the powers that be are ordained by God. How that happens in every situation, I don't know. All I know is that's what the Word of God talk about. So I think that PCH back with us. Let me see if he's there. PCH, are you there, brother?
I am.
Yeah, I apologize. I know I didn't click on you because I wouldn't do that thing on purpose. But the thing that's coming from what Philip was talking about, and just kind of, I don't know if it's a good segue, but the bottom line is this: the State of the Union address and the platform of the president of the Democratic side that supports, and I'm just going to say it, the killing of what God created is contrary to what I understand in Psalms 33:12, where it says, "Blessed is the nation who God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage." And I'm having a problem, and maybe you can help me out from a theological standpoint or just from a standpoint of a person trying to put this together on how can I know I'm supposed to pray for our government first, and I know I do pray for our government, but how do I reconcile the idea that the platform of any political party that would deal with the antithetical killing of what God is responsible to bring to this world, and we superimpose ourselves, and he gives a State of the Union address and talks about all the things he talks about, but the platform is a major tenet of those that call it abortion or choice, as though that's some kind of way not doing God's will. They don't say that, but it's, in my thinking, it's antithetical. It's obviously antithetical to what God has put in place. But yet in Psalms 32:12, it says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." So it's not this United States of America supposed to be predicated upon the tenets of some kind of Judeo-Christian situation. It just upset me when I saw that and when I heard about this.
A couple of things on that. I mean, actually, number one, I want to go back to Philip. I appreciate him calling in. That we only have so much time, and thank God we're glad he's alive and
yes,
he's walking with the Lord. I mean, the bottom line of all that he was talking about, that's what matters, is that he's alive. Yes, and that I pray he's walking with the Lord, spiritually alive. And if so, we greatly rejoice in that. That's number one. Number two is, I see it in my students. A number of them are not Christian, and I see that they see abortion as a right. They see it as actually a good thing. They champion choice. Of course, the abortion is learned years ago that they needed to position this thing is, and they came up with the slogan or the idea of it's a woman's right, my body, my choice type of slogans. And look, we don't wish any ill will on anybody, but the idea that you're going to be bound, you can't succeed economically, socially, or otherwise, so you're going to take the life of a child, and that's the issue. If indeed the fetus is a baby, not a potential human, but human with potential, you're saying that your life and your comfortableness, or at least you're getting ahead and quote in life, is more important than the life of that child. And it's just sad, even I think of Newsom in California, where he said, if you love somebody, you will support abortion. And I just thought, how twisted can you be? How, you know, it's one thing you want to believe that, knock yourself out, but to try to quote the Bible and say that that's what God wants. And I've actually seen people try to justify that it is, yeah, God is in it. And no, he's not. And of course, the argument would be, well, you guys are males. And so, of course, you're saying this. And I'm like, what are you talking about? First of all, arguments don't have gender. I'll say it nicely. Arguments don't have gender, number one. Number two, you're committing a circumstantial ad hominem. You're saying our view's wrong just because we're males. But besides that, most guys I know, Daryl, who are not believers, most guys, almost all of them, almost to every one of them, they're for abortion because they don't have to be responsible.
Yes, yes.
So this idea that somehow like males are trying to hold women down on this is just silly. It's sad. And that we're willing to, you know, we're warned in Isaiah 5 about woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And this to me is an example of that. People think they're being more godly and doing things that the Bible totally opposes. And it opposes it because it's the life of the child. Look, you have a choice. Frankly, don't fool around, number one. If you're not going to do that, at least use contraception. Number three, there is adoption. I mean, so there's all kinds of choices, but you know, using abortion as a form of birth control, what have you, is horrific. The sins of this nation, and we're not trying to jam on people. There's no doubt gals listening right now who've had an abortion, and look, if you've repented and asked God for forgiveness, we're not here to condemn you. But if you're trying to say that abortion is the way to go, and if you're in the valley of decision, we would encourage you to talk to a life counselor. Like in the city I live in, there's a they call it the Life Center, and they will help you, and they will help you with adoption and with all kinds of options and things to do. But it's sad, Daryl. And then are the politicians trying to bandwagon and get votes on this? No, you know, we support women. You think of the sterilization and all the issues that go on with many of the abortions and whatnot. It's horrific. So sad.
Well, PC, I'm going to say this, and it's sort of a segue to what Timothy's comment is on Facebook, and I'll say his comment, and then I'll just make a quick statement. We only have about 5 minutes or so left anyway. Timothy's statement on Facebook, it says, is remorse that causes repentance, genuine repentance. And I'm going to say this in light of what Timothy just said and also what I'm talking about as far as, you know, Psalm 32 talk about God's nation and God's heritage and, you know, what we claim to be as far as the United States of America. I'll put it this way, that unless we indeed repent, not only individually but collectively, I see nothing wrong with praying. Am I saying the word right when I say imprecatory or impeccatory psalms or prayers to change the government to be a more godly government, to put people in place who's going to be bold enough to not trying to govern? I'll put it this way, to not just say, I believe one thing, but I have to govern a different way. But if you have a belief on God, like you say, then you should do those things in line with what God says about the subject matter. Can I pray that prayer, Craig, and be biblically okay?
Well, I mean, sure, I guess you can. I mean, certainly those things are used at the time. I would just say straight and simple, I'm just praying for repentance for this nation, that God doesn't flush us. I mean, our sins reek to high heaven. Some of the violence, the drug use, alcoholism, all the garbage that we're guilty of, and it's just so sad. And I just want to continue and encourage others to pray for repentance for this nation. It's so sad. And I think of the church. There's so much even egregious sin in the church. I can't tell you. I mentioned my students. A number of them claim to be Christian. Mm-hmm. And perhaps many of them are. But they try to justify things like this and somehow make it like not only it's okay, but it's a right. And you're like, are you kidding me? And then the arguments are very sad. They're so flimsy, so weak. They don't know basic biology. They use just really bad argumentation. and so on and so forth. We just the church needs to repent. Those of us who claim to know the Lord, I believe we need to repent. We need to get right with God first and foremost. Then maybe God would grant this nation revival. But I think it's got to come with reformation and the church first and foremost, because we are so tainted by sin. We're often as bad or worse than the world.
Mm. Doing that 1 Corinthians 5 and 6 situation where that guy, man, got caught up having sex with his father's wife, and it was commonly known, and the pagans don't even do it. I mean, that's so what you're saying in regards to the church, Craig, is, I don't know, I just find myself being a whole lot more, for the lack of a better term, more your dad-like, more military drill sergeant-type-like. When you tell me you're a believer, then I'm going to work with you. And as long as you're showing some signs of remorse, I'm going to use Timothy's word, remorse towards what God says about the subject matter, and you're not in line with it, you have to confess that sin, because God says he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And maybe he can do like they did and David did in the situation with Bathsheba, and ask God for a clean heart and may renew a right spirit within him.
Well, you know, yes. So, Darrell, I mentioned, you know, my father passed last month, and then three very dear friends.
Mm-hmm.
One of my friends was a real pro-life advocate. He was very involved in helping head up one pro-life organization. He helped actually another one buy a truck with a sonogram machine,
mm-hmm.
because many women, when they get a sonogram of their babies, they see it's just that. It's not a blob of tissue. It's not an appendage or, pancreas or something like that. It is a baby. And when they see that, many of them decide not to abort that child. But anyway, this brother went home to be with the Lord. And he was a real soldier in the best sense possible, but not as a militant fanatic, but as who loved people and who put his life, he backed up what he said. And I just think, Lord, we need more brave stuff. We need a new generation. We need this dear brother who's gone to be with the Lord last week. We need more like him. We need more to take his place, who are willing to love people, love women, and speak the truth to them and help them financially with having the child, giving them a sonogram, giving them basic health care and godly advice. Oh, the God that we would see this generation rise up, repent of the sins even that dominate in the church, and we'd see revival in the church so that we can see it in the world.
You know, PCH, when you said financially, it just rung a bell right in my head, because I think that you know me over these years, and you know that I've been praying to the Lord to put the church, put every believer that claims to be a believer in a position that the Lord has gotten me for all these years in ministry, where money will never be a reason why I don't do ministry.
Yeah, right.
Money will never be a reason why I don't do ministry. And I ask the Lord to give me solutions to the issues that I see around me, Lord, and make sure that if you're going to put money in my hands, that you do it in such a way, Lord, that it takes away all those excuses so people can do the work of ministry.
Well, yeah, speaking of that, we've got the TOT training coming up, going back to India and Nepal in June, and I've got pastors, missionaries, Bible translators, Christian leaders. We need funds to be able to pay for their travel, their accommodations, as we train them and further equip them, because these people are dedicating their lives. Many of them, one of the brothers spent 4 years in jail. A couple of them, they've tried to kill them. I mean, it's you're talking an incredible sacrifice, incredibly intelligent, committed people. And we need we're committed to training them, so we need the body of Christ to agrees with us and what we're doing to join us and partner. And we need your prayers, number one, and if possible, financially to donate.
Well, that's a good way to end this broadcast, because that music is in my head. You probably don't hear it yourself, PCH. So sail that money in to livebyword@aol.com. You got the Lord's money? Send it in. You know who you are. Send that Lord's money in so we can do the work of ministry. God bless you. I'm Darrell EZD Fulton, Mama Grace and Big Daddy's baby boy. Send the Lord willing. We'll be back next week with more of the Bible Information Brokers.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.